Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I do want to remind you the show is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to thank Henry and Carolyn so much for their support. We'll send access to the premium site, as we do with all donations of $7 or more. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, as we continue on with parts 3 and 4 of the Primrose Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar, hello.
Hello, what's that? I can't quite hear you.
This is Johnny Dollar. I'm phoning from a patrol phone, Forest Service, Summit Road.
Okay, you're coming through now.
Is that Lieutenant Mervin?
Right. I should have known it was you. What are you doing up there in the mountains? Is this a manhunt or a vacation?
Relax, Lieutenant. Before you use some words, you'll have to eat.
Meeting?
Call in your APB. I found that stolen car the Knitson gang was using.
Where?
Up here in the Santa Rita Mountains, about a mile from Primrose Camp. Pop Bardell.
Yeah, I know the place.
They ran it off a cliff and started a rock slide to bury it. One of them still in the car, dead. 2 bullet wounds. You must have hit him when they crashed your roadblock.
That makes 2 dead. Leaves Chipper Knitson and 1 other one still on the loose. All right, Mr. Dollar, I'll have 50 men combing that area within an hour and a half.
You will not.
I what?
There's something wrong at Bardell's place. You bring 50 state troopers in here, you may bust it wide open.
Bust what wide open?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Santa Rita National Forest, Southern Arizona, to the home office, Mid-States Industrial Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Primrose Matter. Expense account continued. It took a lot of arguing to get Lieutenant Mervin of the State Highway Police to hold his men off for 24 hours, but he finally gave in. $100,000. That was the amount of the insured payroll the Knitson gang had got away with in Kansas City, killing 2 guards in the process. Later, they shot their way through a roadblock in southern Arizona, left a state trooper and one of the gang dead in the road behind them, and then disappeared. I was certain the answer was at Primrose Camp. Evening, Mr. Bardell.
Something else you forgot?
No, I told you I'd stop on the way back down. Got a vacancy yet on one of those cabins?
They're all rented.
Oh, that's too bad. I noticed they're dark, by the way, and there are still no cars parked in front of them.
It don't signify.
Well, what do you suppose all your guests are? Lost back in the hills somewhere?
Couldn't say. Now, if you...
Maybe some of them went down to the highway for the night. I could turn the cabin back over to them if they happen to show up.
When they're rented, makes no difference if the folks ain't here to use them.
Well, that's true, I suppose, technically, but when a traveler's badly in need of a place for the night and you've got cabins standing empty...
I told you before, it's better you go on down to the highways. Plenty of motels within a few miles of the junction.
Well, that's exactly my trouble, Mr. Bardell. I can't.
Why not?
Because it's almost dark now and I haven't got any lights.
What?
Yeah, this is a rented car. I should have tried the headlights before I took it out, but I didn't. Now when I need them, they won't work. See?
It's probably just a fuse blowed.
Oh, might be.
Let me turn the flashlight up under the dash here. It won't take but a second to tell.
That what it is?
Nope. Fuses seem to be all right. Broken wire, maybe. Hard to say.
Oh, think you might be able to fix it?
No. It's a job for an electrician. I ain't got the equipment to trace it.
Hey, is that your station wagon there at the side of the lunchroom?
Why, yeah.
Well, look, I'd be glad to pay you if you drive me down to where I can
no,
get
no,
some help.
No, I can't. I can't leave here.
Well, maybe your nephew could take me.
Huh?
The young fellow who was here this afternoon when I came by.
No. He's not familiar with the road.
Well, he drove down and picked up the mail this morning, didn't he?
How'd you know?
Jake, down at the Bar and Grill. Have to mention it.
Just who are you, anyway?
Oh, I guess I did forget to introduce myself this afternoon. My name's Johnny Dollar, Mr.
Wardell. Not your name. I mean, what are you up here for?
Looking around, prospecting a little, seeing the country. Your nephew did go down for the mail, didn't he?
But that was in the daylight. Look, you said you had a sleeping bag with you. It ain't cold tonight. Why don't you
just take it? Hey, that's a good idea. I can spread it out right there on the porch in front of your souvenir shop.
No, I don't mean here. Down the road someplace.
I don't quite understand your attitude, Mr. Bardell. I've always understood you Westerners were noted for your hospitality.
Well, it's just that it makes the missus nervous to have strangers around outside.
And how am I supposed to get down the road someplace?
I don't know.
On foot, maybe? In the dark? In strange country? Oh, when I tell Jake this, he won't believe it.
No!
No, what?
No, don't say anything to Jake. He wouldn't understand.
Well, neither do I.
I can't do anything for you, Mr. Dollar. Just take my word for it now and go on before you cause more trouble. And
what
you
trouble, Uncle? What trouble are you talking about?
Well, it's not trouble exactly. The lights is out on his car. He was just wanting me to put him up for the night.
You have hard luck, don't you, mister?
It kind of looks that way.
I told him just like I did this afternoon. We ain't got no place for him. He'll have to find some
way. We can take care of him, Uncle, as long as he's that anxious to stay.
But you said...
I said what?
The cabins, they're all rented.
And it's not likely the people of number two will be back. He can use that one for the night.
But
you
now...
better go see if it's in shape, Uncle. Go on.
All right. I'll go look it.
I'm much obliged to you for changing his mind.
That's okay. We wouldn't want you to go away and tell bad stories about us, would we? Might cause trouble.
Expense account, item 7, $5. Payment in advance for one night's rent on cabin number 2, Primrose Tourist Camp. The room and the bed were far from inviting, but it didn't matter much. I didn't look for any easy night's rest under the best of circumstances. Not with the feeling of tension and danger that hung over this place. And the almost certain knowledge that two desperate killers were only yards away from me. Mrs. Bardell, Pop's wife, took my payment for the room and made change in the lunchroom next door to the service station.
I'll have to give you ones, Mr. Dollar. You've got a $5 bill.
That's all right.
There's 2, 3, 4, and 5. Want a receipt?
No, thanks. But I could sure stand something to eat.
Well, I could cook you up some ham and eggs, I guess. Some coffee, if that'll do you.
Sure, fine.
Only time I fix any regular meals, aside from short orders, when we've got the cabins full.
Then they're not full now, I take it, huh?
No, not a soul since... I mean, well, they're rented, of course, but the folks aren't eating here.
Oh, I see.
You want your eggs sunny side up?
Yeah, that'll be fine. Must get kind of lonesome for you up here when the season slacks off.
I got my man. And my daughter.
How old is your daughter, Mrs. Bardell?
Jenny was 20 the month before last.
Oh, well, I imagine she's a big help to you.
Yes. She takes care of the souvenir shop on her own. Helps me here in the lunchroom when I get real busy.
Yeah, I noticed a clothes sign on the door of the shop. Is your daughter away at the present?
No, she's not feeling well today. She's in her room.
Oh, I hope it's nothing serious.
No. She'll be all right. She's got to be.
Then it is something serious.
No! I didn't mean it that way. It's nothing. Forget it.
Well, look, if there's anything I can do...
No, nothing. Forget I said anything, Mr. Dollar. You're going to want toast.
No, bread will be fine.
And there you are. Hope that's going to be enough for you.
Yeah, plenty.
Cream in your coffee?
Black, please. Yeah, this looks great. You're a good cook, Mrs. Bardell.
Ham and eggs don't prove nothing. Anybody can fix that.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
You'll be leaving in the morning, I suppose.
Well, I'd like to stay several days, but I don't know whether your husband will let me have a cabin any longer.
He can't help himself. He just can't help it.
Why not?
Well, the cabins are rented, that's all.
When I put my stuff in number 2, there was no sign of any other luggage.
They took it all out.
I was right there all the time, Mrs. Bardell.
I mean earlier. Mr. Dollar, we're in terrible danger, all of us. You too.
What kind of danger?
I can't tell you. Please, if I talk about it, I'll go all to pieces. You don't know what it's like.
I might be able to help you.
No! The only way you can help is to forget it. Not ask any questions. This place is a powder keg. Don't do anything to set it off. Please, Mr. Dollar.
Item 8, $1.10, one order of ham and eggs. Mrs. Bardell refused to say anything more, and I didn't try to force her to. She was shaking, cold sweat on her forehead, scared half to death. I walked out onto the porch, sat down, lit a cigarette, and watched the stars come out one by one, sharp and bright against the black mountain sky. The Bonnells' living quarters were back at a souvenir shop, and there were no lights showing in them. If their daughter Jenny was in her room, ill, she was back there in the dark. After a while, I went to my cabin. As I fumbled around for a light switch, I suddenly realized somebody was standing in the doorway.
Reckon you're gonna have to use an oil lamp tonight, Mr. Dollar. Generator's got a drive belt busted, and I ain't been able to get out to fetch one.
Oh, I don't mind, Mr. Bardell.
The lamp's there on the table, huh? I'll light it for you now, and you can blow it out when you go to bed.
Sure. All right, fine.
You hadn't ought to pay no attention to the missus, what she said a while ago.
I didn't realize she'd said anything.
Well, she was telling me she spouted off some foolishness. Might be took wrong if a man was to pay any mind to it. If that gets to smoking, you'll have to turn it down some.
Okay. Mrs. Bardell did seem a little upset, but she
well,
didn't...
Well, that's all it is, Mr. Dollar, just upset. You know how women get sometimes. Just forget it. It's the best thing to do. Anything you need now before I leave you?
No, nothing I can think of. Thanks anyway.
Then I reckon I'll say goodnight. You can have your breakfast in the morning any time after about 7 o'clock.
Jake Meager was telling me you have a daughter, Mr. Bardell.
That's right.
I didn't notice her around anywhere this evening. Is she,
She's in Tucson for a few days.
Oh?
Yeah, she's in there visiting friends.
Oh, I see. Well, then you're lucky to have your nephew here to help you while she's away.
But, yeah. Yeah, it works out real good.
He's been here for some time, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, several weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be a lot of help to you. Really takes hold of things.
I don't know what I'd do without him. Well, I'll see you in the morning.
Mr. Bardell.
Yeah?
Jake Meager told me your nephew just came yesterday.
Jake drinks too much. He's always getting things mixed up.
And Mrs. Bardell told me a little while ago that your daughter's out back in her room, ill, not in Tucson.
Well, it's like I was saying, the missus is all upset. She just don't rightly know what she's saying.
And one more thing. I noticed the front end of my car has been jacked up and the right front wheel's been taken off.
The tire went flat. We'll fix it and put it back on in the morning. Good night, Mr. Dollar.
Johnny Dollar.
This is Jed Marsh, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I've been waiting for you to call.
The forest ranger come down to my cabin and said you was calling from one of the emergency phones. Figured it must be kind of important to...
It is, Jed. I'm at the fire patrol phone a mile below Primrose Camp, the Summit Road. Can you meet me here?
This time of night, 4 miles across the ridge on foot.
Well, you're a woodsman, aren't you? That's what you told me this afternoon.
Well, I didn't figure...
I just met the Bardells. You're a longtime friend of theirs, aren't you?
Something wrong at Pop's place?
I think there's something badly wrong. He and his wife are scared half to death for some reason. I haven't seen the daughter, and Pop and his wife have each told me a different story about her.
That don't sound like them at all.
Well, they're obviously under some kind of pressure. That so-called nephew seems to be running the show.
I told you, Pop ain't got no nephew.
He has now, Jed.
You got any idea what's behind it, Mr. Dollar?
Yes. I think it's tied in with a $100,000 payroll robbery, that wrecked car we found this afternoon, 3 murders, and... You'd better meet me up here as soon as you can.
Tonight, And every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Primrose Camp, Arizona, to the home office, Mid-States Industrial Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Primrose matter. Expense account continued. Jed Marsh, an old-time prospector, was a good friend of the Bardells, operators of the lonely tourist camp on a dead-end road high up in the Santa Rita Mountains. And I counted on that friendship to sway him. It did. He finally agreed to come. I hung up the ranger patrol phone and sat down on a flat pine stump to wait for him. And I hoped it wouldn't be too long a wait. The night wind sang in the high branches overhead, and their shadows in the moonlight formed strange moving patterns of silver and black. It wasn't a good night for a jumpy imagination. I started to reach for a cigarette and matches.
Get your hands up!
He was behind me, and I couldn't see him. But I knew the voice. It was Pop Bardell's mysterious nephew.
Get him up! Move!
You're up late.
So are you. Now, just keep him there now. We'll see if you got it. Uh-huh. I figured you'd be packing a rod.
Self-protection. I understand there are a lot of snakes around here.
Maybe you understand too much, Dollar.
I suppose you followed me from the camp.
You're a good supposer. Now, what's the game?
Well, I'm a bird watcher, and I specialize in observing the quaint habits of the night-flying titmouse.
I want jokes. I'll tell you I want jokes.
I guess I misunderstood you.
Right, get up. Get up. You're not hurt.
I appreciate you telling me.
I asked you a question, Dollar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the game. You heard that phone conversation, didn't you?
I heard it.
And you know
who's
about
the guy you talked to?
A friend of mine. An old prospector named Jed Marsh.
I heard that. Why'd you get in touch with him?
Well, now, he specializes in night-blooming uranium, so I thought we might combine our hobbies.
How much of this does it take to wise you up?
Well, I think that one just might have done it.
Why'd you want him to meet you here?
I thought he might be useful.
For what?
For pointing out the roosting places of the night flying. All right, take it easy. Slap me once more with that rod and I may get mad.
You're scaring me to death.
There are worse ways to go.
Dollar, them smart cracks are going to get you nothing but stitches.
Stitches are what they're supposed to keep you
just
on.
Keep asking.
Relax. You know, I think I finally got you tagged.
Now, what do you mean, tagged?
You're not Pop Bardell's nephew, and you don't come from Tulsa. Am I right so far?
You're doing the talking.
I think you came originally from Chicago or New York. But recently, you've just come west from Kansas City.
You a cop, Dollar?
No.
And how come you...
I've been trying to place you ever since I saw you this afternoon. Thinking back over police bulletins I've seen, mugshots, descriptions. Yeah. You're Spade Keller, aren't you?
Go on, this is your story.
You used to work with the Carzotti mob. Then you went out of circulation for 3 years as a guest of the state. And when you got out, you apparently hooked up with Jipper Knutson and his gang.
So you are a cop. Well, Mr...
I'm somebody who found that stolen car you ran off the cliff and tried to hide under a rock slide.
If you found it, you must have been looking for it.
I was looking for $100,000, that Kansas City payroll. The one you boys killed a couple of bank guards to get your hands on, remember?
I'm just listening.
Then, of course, you killed a state trooper down there at the highway when you crashed a roadblock. That's 3 murders, Spade. And nobody left now to pay for them but just you and the Jipper.
You know, they got to catch us first.
Oh, they will. Or kill you trying to.
If the cops don't do no better than you did, the... Hey, Dollar. Cops know about that car?
Which car is that, Spade?
You know which car. The one we buried in the rock slide.
There's the ranger phone. Call him up and ask him. Maybe they'll be happy.
You just keep it up, Dollar. This gun will still be in good shape when your head's got holes in it.
I think maybe it's already happened.
Now, what about it? You told the police about that car?
You followed me, didn't you? You know I only made one call.
Yeah, but you might have called him earlier.
Wouldn't that be kind of crazy? Then they'd get the $100,000.
You mean you... So that's the game, huh? You and this pal of yours were figuring to knock us over and hijack that payroll for yourselves.
I didn't say that.
I figured you for a phony the minute you drove into the station this afternoon.
That's why I had Bardell give you a cabin when you came back, and that's why I took a wheel off your car tonight. So I could have you where I could keep my good eye on you. See what you were up to.
And now you think you know.
Sure. You got a hunch we'd be holed up in here somewhere after we broke through that roadblock in the Nogales Highway. So you come up to snoop around and try to get your hands on that 100,000.
Spade, you're a real smart boy.
You found the car and then you tagged me. So you figured Primrose Camp for the hideout.
How did the Bardells figure in it, Spade?
And you sneaked down here tonight and phoned your pal, wanted him to come over to the camp and help you. Help you what, Dollar? You don't know where Jipper is, and you don't know where the money is. Now, what were you planning to do?
I thought we might ask you.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Only it didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
Well, now there's nothing to do but just sit here and wait for your pal to show. To make sure you wait, try it!
So I waited quietly. Being somewhat unconscious, there wasn't much else I could do. I'd been trying to stall Spade until Jed Marsh arrived, hoping to tip Jed off in some way before he walked into the trap. But I'd been outfoxed, outmaneuvered, and finally just plain out. For how long, I don't know. But it was too long to do Jed any good. When I came to, he was already in the parlor, and the spider had pounced.
What do you mean, get my hands up?
You heard me, didn't you?
You're done right, I heard you, but I... You ain't Mr. Dollar. What's going on here? Who the devil are you, anyhow?
How'd you like a bullet right over your belt buckle?
Now, you look here.
Easy, Jed. Better do what he says.
Mr. Dollar, what happened to you?
The same thing that's going to happen to you if you don't get your hands up.
What are you worried about, Spade? He's not even packing a gun.
I suppose I make sure of that, huh?
You're golden lucky I ain't got no gun, you shifty-eyed little sidewinder.
Shut up.
If I had one, I'd fill you so gall-dang full of holes, they would... You shoot!
You hurt Jed.
Not as bad as he'll be when I pay him back for that.
Get over there next to Dollar. Come on, snap it up.
I'm mighty glad there's a moon tonight. I want to get that face of yours real clear in my mind so's I'll know it next time I see it. So I
told you to shut up.
Better relax, Judd. Spade here's pretty jumpy. He's one of the last two left now, and he knows it's just a matter of time.
What I gotta do, Dollar, smash that head of yours clear open?
I think you'd better go easy on that slugging stuff, Spade. About the next time you swing on one of us, the other one's gonna jump you.
I was wondering if you had the same idea I had, Mr. Dollar.
Either one of you makes a move, it'll be your last one.
You see, Jen, he's jumpy. He and the Chipper are up at Dead End Road. They got no place to go from here, and Spade knows it.
Couple more days, they'll figure we got clear away from this part of the country. They won't be looking for us around here. That's when we'll leave. And we'll get away with it.
Provided Jed and I don't tell him where you are.
You won't. That's one thing I'm real sure of.
This here varmint wouldn't be aiming to draw us in, would he, Mr. Dollar?
I wouldn't be surprised if he had something like that in mind, Jed. Am I right, Spade?
What have I got to lose?
That's a very logical attitude. What he means, Jed, is the fact that the gang has already murdered 3 people. And since they can only hang Spade and the Jipper once, a couple of more killings won't matter very much.
Matter some to me, seeing as I'm to be one of them.
Oh, yeah, and to me, seeing as I'm the other. But that's Spade's problem, of course. Having 2 of us on his hands. Even with him having the gun, it's pretty touchy business. Right, Spade?
Get on your feet, Dollar.
Sure. We'll stay as far apart as he'll stand for, Jed, so he'll have to swing the gun wide.
Shut up, Dollar.
If he goes for me first, jump him fast.
Sure, I got you. Seen it happen once in Tonopah during a gold strike in 19...
Shut up, the both of you!
Now, Spade's got an even worse problem, Jed. He's so scared and jumpy, he may even miss his first shot. Then he'll have both of us on him.
Reckon I'd be jumpy, too. If I was standing there where he is.
What are you talking about?
Next to the edge of the cliff that way. Close to all them boulders.
What about them?
Just snakes, that's all.
Snakes?
Oh, you shouldn't have told him, Jed. I was hoping he'd blunder onto one.
Where's any snakes?
Might be anywhere around you there. Along for sunup, when it starts getting chilly, they crawl in around the rocks and get warm. You city fellas ought to have a nurse to keep... Hey, wait a minute. I wouldn't move around much if I was you. Not without a flashlight.
I haven't got a flashlight.
Well, I have, right here in my pocket. Now, if I...
Hold it! Keep your hands up. I seen that trick pulled before. You throw the light in my eyes to give Dollar a chance to jump me.
My, you got a real suspicious nature, Spade.
Snakes. There's probably no snakes within 10 miles. What's that?
Look out, Spade.
Where?
The other way. It's right there by your foot. Move back.
Let me get the flash. I can't see what I'm...
Not that way, Spade. You're going to step on it.
No! No!
Back! Jump back!
Which way?
Look out! The cliff!
You're going right to the edge!
He stepped back on that loose slab on the edge, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah. Well, it was sure his last step, Judd. That must be a 400-foot drop there.
I didn't aim for this to happen. I was just trying to upset him so as we could jump him.
How'd you make that noise, anyway?
With this. A set of old timber snake rattles stuck on a pine sliver. You just rub your thumb on it, and it starts them going. Use it sometimes to spook a tenderfoot.
Are you sure spook one tonight?
Can't say I'm too sorry at that, Mr. Dollar. He wasn't aiming no good for us, and that's for dang sure.
Three down now. Only the Chipper himself is left.
Funny about life sometimes, Mr. Dollar. That Spade fellow went around striking out at people like a snake does. And he died the same darn way, all smashed on the rocks. Just like a snake dies.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a lovely girl screams in terror as a cornered rat turns and fights back. Fights the way a rat fights. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. I have to admit there were a few points in this story, particularly in part three, I was kind of doubtful of how Johnny was going, particularly with as much pressure as he was applying. But I think most of it was necessary, except for the last conversation with the old man. I think it could reasonably be assumed that they were being forced into this, and the daughter was being held hostage. But that didn't matter since they pretty much decided to follow him anyway. I really do like the confrontation that ends part four. It's just a great dramatic setup, and it puts you right on the edge of your seat as Johnny and the prospector both keeping their heads and really rattling the nerves of the guy with the gun. It was just a very classic maneuver with tension building right up until the very end of it. Of course, there's plenty of work to be done in part five, and I hope you'll be back with us for that. All right, well, I mentioned on Monday that we only have three more weeks of the five-part Your Truly Johnny Dollar after this week. In 4 weeks, we'll begin to present you the adventures of Philip Marlowe. We'll be starting out with the NBC version of that series. But in 2 weeks, we'll bring you a sneak preview with a Lux Radio Theater presentation of Philip Marlowe. But be sure to listen on Wednesday. Next week, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Then a Philip Marlowe Lux Radio Theater presentation. And then the following Wednesday, our last episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, before we begin 2 years of Philip Marlowe. Well, this week, just join us tomorrow for Nick Carter. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.